Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Well, we'll finish Isaiah during this meeting.
Amen.
Let's turn to the last chapter of Isaiah,
yeah. Chapter 66. A lot of commentators of the Bible thought Isaiah chapter 65 should be the wonderful end of the book of Isaiah. Right? Don't you agree? Normally and naturally, we read it according to our understanding. Of course, the best way is to end with a new heaven and new earth. That should be probably the best ending, right? But obviously, it's not. It is definitely not, because there is a chapter 66 in the book of Isaiah. And in this chapter, let us read the first two verses first. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, or what is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest, meaning, and what is the place of my rest? Everything is created by me, right? He said, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. O Lord Jesus. You remember he said this before, right? So not just here, but on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, that he will dwell with this kind of people. And he who trembles at my word. And then verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. And obviously this is important. Why is it that the Lord added this word in chapter 66? It would have been wonderful to end in chapter 65. Right, a wonderful new heaven and new earth, and where peace and righteousness dwells. And right, even the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Lion eats straw like the ox. Well, you can have a lion as a pet at home. Right, today you can't do that. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountains, says the Lord. Wow, that would be a wonderful ending for Isaiah. But the Lord did not end there for a very important reason. He came back to the very important point today. And at that day, namely Zion. Because it's very easy to forget about Zion and just, oh, wow, we're looking forward for the new heaven and new earth. Right? And let's forget about Zion. But no. Right? Because at that time, remember King Cyrus. And the Lord raised up King Cyrus for them to go back to Jerusalem to do what? To rebuild the temple and the city. To rebuild the temple and the city. So, but here the Lord very clearly tells them, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What is the house? Or namely, what kind of a house will you build me? Right. And where is the place of my rest? All those things, outward things my hand has made, and all those things exist. Now, you should go back to the book of Acts chapter 7. Let us, because Stephen quoted this verse. You know, if Stephen did not quote this verse, we would not have fully understand. Right? But let us read it first together, Acts chapter 7. We have it here in 48, right? Verse 48. But let's start with 47. Well, let's start with David, right? Because David, who found in verse 46, found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. A dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But God says, no, not you, but Solomon. So Solomon built him a house. Verse 48, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me? Here it says not where is the house, but what house? What house? Oh, you're going to build me a house like your house? Right. Oh, what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Right. So here, verse 48 says, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. I think this portion of the scripture in Acts chapter 7 is very important for us to understand this portion. In those days, God told Cyrus, you, right, will build my temple. Ask his people to build his temple. And God did ask Cyrus to command his people to do that. But remember, it was David who says in 2 Chronicles, right, what kind of temple can we build for him? This temple is only for offerings of sacrifices. That means David somehow realized that God doesn't dwell in houses like we do. You need a house. You have a nice house, right? You have a nice condo. We all live in some kind of a house. But what kind of a house can we build for God? But nevertheless, God still wanted them to build that temporary temple for people to come and worship and offer the sacrifices. But the problem is, they did not do it with a sincere heart. Right, in chapter 66, verse 2, right, all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor. And here, poor doesn't mean that you have no money or you're just in poverty. But poor means you're humble, lowly. Your heart is not filled with pride, arrogance. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor. Right? But they are not poor. And they came, and already Isaiah exposed this so much. They fasted, but it is just an outward fasting. They brought the offerings, but after the offering is over, everything is over. Right? It is not right. They are just doing things in an outward routine way, but their heart is not there, and they're not changed. They're just doing it because they have to do it. Ain't you're just going 65 an hour because the cop is following you. Suppose the cop says, okay, he's all right, and he drove out of the exit, and he's no longer behind you. What do you do? Step on it. You step on it. So you're going 65 or 70, or maybe 75, not because you're such a lawful person, but because you're afraid to get a ticket. So going 80 and 90 will cost you $750. Or even more. You might lose your license. But that's not the person that you are and that I am. Right? That is why the Lord says in verse 3, he who kills a bull as if he slays a man, he who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck, and he who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood, and he who burns incense as if he blesses an idol, just as they have chosen their own ways. And that is the trouble. They have chosen their own ways. Outwardly, it seems you're doing the right thing, what God wants, but really, in their heart, they have chosen their own way. They are doing their own thing. On one hand, they have the temple there, but on the other side, when nobody's watching, they're worshiping idols. You have two things there. This is exactly what Ezekiel said. And Ezekiel was wondering why God was against and left the temple and wanted to judge his people. He didn't realize. So what did Ezekiel do? He grabbed Ezekiel by his hair. He must have a lot of hair. He grabbed Ezekiel by the hair and brought him back to Jerusalem, to the temple, and showed him what those people were doing. From the kings, the priests, to the people, and to the women. The women have their own goddess and gods and worshiping. So you cannot have both. You want both? You want both, but God will not tolerate it. Right? Just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abomination, so will I choose their delusion, and God also have a choice there, and bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. And this is the problem today. Sunday we have a meeting. Monday through Saturday we do our things. We choose our own ways. Then Sundays we come and choose his way. 2 hours his way. And 6 days and the rest of the hours of on Sundays we choose our ways. So you think God will be happy with that? Well, no. Of course he will not be happy. You think he didn't see it? You think he doesn't know? He knows very well, especially what is in my heart. He is the one who searches the heart and the hidden parts of man and knew all our thoughts and our words before we even spoke it. And this is why it is written here, at that time, God was not happy and destroyed it. He already did, right? He destroyed it. And then they were brought into captivity, And after 70 years, okay, they were supposed to go back and build another one and rebuild it. And now they're going to rebuild it. But this is not the outward temple, the real temple that God wants. Right? Not because he didn't want that temporary temple, they still needed it at that time. But God rejected it. And this is why the Lord told them, because they are going back. Right? And God knew that they are going back to rebuild. So the Lord says, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor. That means your heart is genuine, turning to the Lord. You're humble before God. Remember, God resists the proud. And of a contrite heart, meaning to say, a heart that is ready to repent. Are we ready to repent? To repent is not just to say, I'm sorry. It's very easy to say, I'm sorry. I said it 1,000 times already. I don't know how many times I said I'm sorry. The trouble is I do it again. After I do it, I say, I'm sorry. The next day I do it again and I tell you, oh, I'm sorry. If we are living together, I think I'll be saying I'm sorry to you, Timo, maybe 100 times a day. You too. But there's no real turning. There's no change. No change. I want to give a belated offering to the Father. I was in Northern California, staying with Naomi, and saw the children. I don't live with the children there. Of course, they are there free, and I'm there free because they're on vacation, and I'm visiting the family, so we're there. And there are many times I like to say something to the children. But the Lord touched my heart. Says, no, just love them and pray for them. Intercede for them. And I realize, and I begin to realize, the intercession is not just intercession. You have to intercede with love. Because intercession is not just a work, but it is a work out of love, out of your compassion and mercy. These three words, plus righteousness, they are all coupled together, joined together. If I have no love for you, I will not intercede for you. I will condemn you. Right? Or maybe I'll say, okay, I'll forgive you this time. No, that's not intercession. Right? But if you have genuine love of God, just like the Lord for his people, he intercedes for them every day. Right? And then to be compassionate, that means you understand them. You're compassionate with these people. Right? And they're merciful. God is not only love, like Ephesians chapter 2, the great love wherewith he loved us, but also the mercy and compassionate. Praise the Lord, a rich mercy, and with a great love and compassionate. That means I understand the weakness of these children. They can't help it. If they can help it, they wouldn't be like that. If I could help it to myself, I wouldn't like to do a lot of things I shouldn't be doing, right? But I couldn't help it. to be compassionate, to be merciful, and yet not to say it's okay, then that means you're righteous. But just be righteous without love, without compassion, without mercy, it doesn't work either. Right? So in these few days, I realize what a wonderful Christ we have. What a wonderful Christ we have. And how short I am. Right? That I could experience at that moment this wonderful humanity and qualities of the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Our God is a compassionate God. But he's also the judge. Yeah. So, the Lord here in verse 2 is looking for people who is not proud. You know, arrogant people is unteachable. They cannot receive anything you say. No. So the Lord cannot build his church today with such people who are proud. Yeah. And who doesn't turn and repent. And admit, Lord, I'm wrong. Forgive me. Change me. I'm not happy just to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm learning all this time to say, Lord, save me. Heal me and change me. I don't want just to be forgiven and remain the same. I want him to save me. And to save means to heal me because I'm sick. You just forgive me, but I'm still sick. I've been doing the same thing. And then change me, transform me. There's such a word as transformation in the Bible. To conform us to his image, to change us into his image from glory to glory. This is the full salvation. This means to be saved to the uttermost. And because if we are not saved to the uttermost and change and transform, the church, Zion, cannot be built. After this 40 years, I've learned a little bit to see why it's not possible to build the church. Not because of so many outward problems, because of us, because of me, because of you, because of each one of us. We are all strange kind of people. Don't you think you're peculiar? No wonder he says we're a peculiar treasure. I'm peculiar, aren't you? My granddaughter wore a shirt that says, one of its kind. I realized, I said, you are one of its kind, but so am I. We are all strange kind of people. And for God built with all strange people, peculiar. Aren't you peculiar? Yeah, I know my daughter. Because she got a peculiar father. We all need salvation to the uttermost. Amen. And seeing myself, then we can have compassion on other people. Right. No wonder the Lord on the cross could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. They have no choice. You think I want to be what I am? No. Right? And the Lord became a man, and he fully understands us. Yeah. Right? So, to have a contrite spirit is very important. And David had a contrite spirit. In Psalm 51, you can see. Right? A humble spirit. and willing to repent. And then it says, who trembles at my word. You know, we all have a lot of knowledge. We read a Bible every day, right? Didn't you? We all read a Bible, and what is your attitude when you read a Bible, when I read a Bible? Wow, now I understand this verse. Oh, wow, I got some revelation. Yeah, I have light in the Bible. Wow, praise the Lord, right? But do I have such a feeling of responsibility I have now that I know I better do it? Otherwise, I'll be in trouble with him. When people hear this word, they will say, no, you see, now they don't enjoy the word. They only tremble at the word. No. I love the word and I enjoy the word. But we need to add another word, trembles, because it is written. Because if I don't do according to what I know, there's judgment. The very words that I know and read and are so happy and enjoying, oh, a wonderful word, now I have a message on Sundays. That's why nobody likes James, because James is too straightforward. Don't be teachers. James says, don't be teachers, because if you teach, you don't do it, you will get more judgment. Your judgment will be more severe. Who trembles at my word. This trembles doesn't mean that you have nightmares. No, I don't have nightmares reading the word, but I have respect for the word. I have respect. It is God's word. And he is the judge. If your boss tells you to do something, what do? No wonder his employees all trembled at him. Because they're going to lose their job. Who trembles, praise the Lord. This is the kind of material of people that the Lord needs for the building up of his church. Right. If we are not like this, can you imagine if everyone in a church life has their own thoughts and their own opinion and their own way of thinking, and they judge each other and point the fingers at one another, and at the end, how can we build a church this way? Can you imagine that? Suppose your employee, how many employees do you have?
30.
Wow. And each one of them have their own ways. And I said, that's too expensive. No, you shouldn't put that price there. You should put just $50 instead of $80. And the other one says, no, it should be more. It should be $100. And the other one says, no, you should give 20% discount. Yeah. You will have a headache. You will go out of business. You might as well close shop. We all do well to listen to the head, which is Christ. He's God. He's God. And we, what are we? We are no thing. We are nothing. We are nobody. Not somebody. You're not even somebody. We are nobody. We are nothing. We are nothing. So it was at that time, but Stephen applied it for today. What kind of a church are we going to build? You tell me. What are we building here? On the ground? One city, one church, and we are already the church? I have seen that. And at the end, it fell apart. many times, fell apart many times. Yeah, we talk about oneness, but what kind of oneness? There are many kinds of oneness. I've seen even those in the top doing wrong things and will not repent. Not poor in spirit, no contrite spirit, no contrite heart. And I've seen a lot of cover-up, no righteousness. And I've seen also no compassion, no love. You think God can build up such a church? These are all built by man's hands, man's ability. I'm glad Stephen says that. But the Most High God does not dwell in temples made by hands. Whatever your hands can make, God will say, I made them all. What can you use? Even I made you. And now you think you're greater than I. And now you're going to replace me. And now everybody has to listen to you instead of listening to me. This is why this chapter is written here. Because we are not just looking for a future, and today there's nothing. Right. What God is going to do, the new Jerusalem, right? The heavenly Jerusalem, when does it start? It better start now. If it doesn't start now, yeah, but it will not start with everyone. It will start only with those who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at his word. That's how it starts. Not just one city, one church, and everybody is so proud. We are the right one. We know the whole Bible. Nobody saw this. We have this gold, whatever. No. This is definitely not the way the Lord is going to build Zion, his kingdom, today. And we all remember again Hebrews chapter 8. The Lord is building or entered into a heavenly, true tabernacle, not made by man and not made with hands. Apart from your hands, what else do you have to be able to make something? Can you make something just out of your mind and speak something into being? Let there be a computer. Boom, and there is a computer. Can you think something out? No, you cannot. You cannot. Only God can speak things into being and make things out of nothing. I cannot. Can you? Who can make something out of nothing? If you make something out of nothing, it is a lie. A lie is something out of nothing. And it's nothing. It's worse than nothing. It's evil. Right? But God spoke things into being. Let there be light. So praise the Lord. Now we know why God through Isaiah put this verse in here. Write it in your heart. But on this one will I look, that means he is looking for such people. That is what he is looking for. And I hope that we become such people. Amen. It's not too late to change. Amen. Definitely not too late. We should become such people, because on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. Otherwise, whatever you do, you think I brought a bull to you, the Lord will say, no, you slayed a man. As if you slayed a man. If you sacrifice a lamb, as if he breaks a dog's neck. Swine's blood, if you offer a grain offering. God looks at things differently. Right. Amen. Lord, we pray that you will help us. Amen. Open our eyes to see how you will build your church today. Yes, to build up Zion. Amen. Verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Again, you who tremble. That means you honor his word. You fear him. Remember, the spirit in chapter 11 is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Right. So this is what the Lord is really looking for, just like what Psalm 137 says, right? Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you. Can you imagine that hatred? Who cast you out for my name's sake. They even said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy. They thought they are right. Somebody said to a brother that I knew, go to your heavenly Jerusalem. Mockingly, in a way, mockingly. What are you doing here? Go to your heavenly Jerusalem. That's not a nice thing to say, but you know who heard it? He heard it. The Lord heard it. So don't say things lightly. But God says here, but they shall be ashamed. They shall be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Then there is judgment. The sound of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. The voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Right. And his enemies here is not just from outside. Those from the inside became his enemies. Remember what James says we read? He who is a friend of the world is? What? Are you a brother in the Lord or are you an enemy of God? Huh? Is he talking to non-Christians? Oh, come on, really? Can a Christian be an enemy of God? Okay. I have no comment. According to the word, yes. Right. Time is short. Lord Jesus. But this first part is important. It's very important. But let me just quickly share it, verse 7. Then the Lord begins to say something very different here. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. All of a sudden, the Lord jumped. Talking about pregnancy. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? Yes, it did happen in 1948. Didn't it happen? It did. Yeah. For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Amen. Do you love Jerusalem? Or you love Babylon? Praise the Lord. Those who love Jerusalem, all of a sudden, after 70 years is over, they could return. Nobody could have dreamt that it would happen. Right? Which country would just freely let their people who were captives and become slaves there go free? Right? All you who love her, rejoice. For joy with her, all you who mourn for her. Let me tell you, if you love Jerusalem, you will mourn for Jerusalem. Because at that time, Jerusalem was destroyed, was desolate, burned. Of course, Isaiah was speaking prophetically. Who mourns for her? If you love Jerusalem, you will mourn for Jerusalem. If you love Zion, even today, you will mourn. If you see the desolation of God's people, you will mourn. You will not be happy. You will not say, let him stay there. It's okay. That you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory when she appears, of course. Right? And here it means that, first of all, the Lord is going to recover. And when the right time came, it happens very fast. Everybody will be surprised. All of a sudden, it's there. Whoever thought that in 1948, all of a sudden, after the Second World War, the nation of Israel, after being desolate and disappeared from the map of the world, all of a sudden, overnight, it didn't even take a long time to rebuild it, all of a sudden became a nation. Who could do that? And who could imagine that Jerusalem within 6 days will be recovered and fell back into the hand of the Jews? Who could fulfill that in such a short period of time, you tell me? Right? You don't even see the birth pain. It happens so quickly, almost overnight. And now who could have imagined that all of a sudden somebody came and declared Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel? And let's wait and see, and all of a sudden the peace treaty is ready. People thought, no, it's impossible. Everybody's talking about this for so many decades now. But all of a sudden it's going to, you'll be so surprised. We all will be surprised. Everyone will be surprised. Who is going to do it? God. God. Right? In one day. It says here. Right. In one day. Oh, Lord Jesus. Verse 8. Who has ever heard of such thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. And let me tell you, more wonderful thing is not only concerning Israel, but concerning us. All of a sudden, the woman appeared in Revelation chapter 12 and giving birth to a man-child. All of a sudden, nobody is expecting it. It happened. When the sixth seal is open, it's going to happen. But it will happen so quick, nobody is going to suspect anything. And all of a sudden, the man-child is born and taken up to the throne, who is supposed to rule the nations with an iron rod. That birth is going to happen so quickly, before you realize it, it's already done. So quick that even that great red dragon didn't have any time to swallow him. Missed it. He was maybe just winking his eyes and the child was born and taken out. Who could do this? And all of a sudden the first fruit was brought forth. You know, when springtime comes, all of a sudden, the flowers came out almost overnight. So quick. And the fruits came out. This is going to happen very quickly. That's why we need to be ready. Because when the time comes, you will not have any more time to catch up. Whatever is ready is ready. Just gone. Who could do such a thing? Yeah. Only God could do such a thing. Amen. Amen. And this is what God is going to do with us. Amen. That's why today we all need to love Zion. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her. Yeah. So if you do love Jerusalem, you will feel for Jerusalem. You will mourn for Jerusalem. Yeah. That you may feed and be satisfied when it comes. With the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord says, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. You remember that song? And peace like a river. And this is what Jerusalem should be, peace. Don't make unrest in Jerusalem. Peace like a river. I like to sing that song. How about that? Do we have that song? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And the glory of the Gentiles, like a flowing stream, will come to Jerusalem. Then you shall feed. On her sides shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Right. And the rest, you can read it by yourself. Praise the Lord. Let's have some prayers.